Selected citations from motions in Lamine filed in U.S. versus McCormick, CD Calendar 2019, unpublishable. A Phoenix Wright fic, written by Cosmogrill, read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid.
Flower Parish.
Semper Fiona.
Winged Words.
Summary. Federal court? Phoenix said blankly for the third time, and this time Edgeworth, sounding distinctly less sympathetic, said, "Surely you've heard of it." See generally. Federal court? Phoenix said blankly for the third time, and this time Edgeworth, sounding distinctly less sympathetic, said, "Surely you've heard of it." Technically, yes, but technically covered a lot of ground. Phoenix had gone into criminal defense for a reason, and the reason was not just stalking. California law, and after the court reforms, and defense practice, and what even was the dual sovereignty doctrine. I know, it's absurd. The Petit policy should clearly apply, but the AUSA is an old colleague of mine, and he was threatening to charge McCormick under RICO, Edgeworth said. And then, of course, there is a saving to the taxpayer in Adjacent. Right, are you hyperventilating? I don't know, I'd said that out loud, Phoenix snapped. I'm taking some time to adjust. I don't know what you have to adjust to. You aren't federally barred, Edgeworth said. It needn't excise your sense of pride too badly. My father had a brisk federal practice, but he had the $200 and the intimate attention to detail required to enter. How is this not supposed to bother my pride? Phoenix demanded. And the lack of specialization in murder, Edgeworth continued, as though he hadn't heard. Your defendant will be fine. Some competent attorney will take this case. You can simply pass along your case notes and leave it all be. Right. Phoenix let out a breath. Yeah, of course. I wouldn't know what to do with the trafficking charge anyway. Marvin Grossberg, for example, is known as an excellent man in a district court, Edgeworth continued, beginning to look hopeful. Right, Phoenix said very differently. He squared his shoulders. Miles, he said, I need you to teach me the federal rules in under 24 hours. Also, he said after a moment's thought, loan me $200.
Federal R Evidence 407, bearing use of subsequent remedial measures to prove culpable behavior. It was probably the fact that it was 7 in the morning, or his relative lack of familiarity with coffee, that was leading to most of his confusion. But he had really been under the impression that there was supposed to be an actual jury here. It had been on every single Wikipedia page. Not for the pretrial conferences, Edgeworth said, in tones of dawning chagrin. Right, you did read the rules of criminal procedure like I told you. Phoenix felt cautiously for his chair. I opened it, he said. I put it down on the desk, on top of the rules of evidence. I looked at it hard. Then he fell asleep for 9 hours, Maya said, cheerfully vaulting the box. He probably took it in, you know, subliminally. What's shaken? Edgeworth let out an enormous sigh. Since they'd started dating, he had gotten a little gun-shy about calling Phoenix a complete idiot all the time, and watching him try not to do it had rapidly become one of Phoenix's favorite occupations. This time, he adopted a tone of superhuman patience. All we're doing today is going over discovery and quibbling over witnesses we plan to introduce. It should be brief. We got the 3-day trial rule declared substantive due to some truly outrageous argumentation in 2014. So Aerie and Hannah control, of course. Of course, Phoenix said. Is Aerie a person or... A city in Iowa, Maya said, knowledgeably, and the judge cleared his throat. If we are all quite finished, he said, let's all get that Dobert nonsense out of the way and start with the experts, shall we? Prosecution wants to bring a forensic psychologist to testify the track covering behavior. This part he knew. Objection. Edgeworth had impressed on him last night that his role did not stop with that sentence. He racked his brain for the next thing he was supposed to say. A reason for his objection? That sounded fake. He gave it a shot. This is nothing but an attempt to make our client look guilty for attempting to fix the situation, Your Honor. Ah, the judge said, after a beat. Do you mean to say that track covering behavior is a subsequent remedial measure? but that relevance exception applies only in civil cases. You are aware that you were in criminal court. Phoenix attempted silence. Denied, the judge said. He had significantly more backbone than the judge Phoenix was used to, and less beard. The effect was kind of disconcerting, like being told off by a bald cliff face. He pushed his glasses up to the peak. Do you know, I love the smell of state attorneys in the morning.
Fed R. Evid 502. Creating exceptions to waiver of attorney-client privilege. I'm sorry, are you suggesting that your flagrantly illegal text to your client should not be discoverable on some kind of privilege grounds? The judge peered interestedly at Phoenix. Even though you yourself intend to enter an email from him into evidence? Edgeworth stood. We moved for a 502D order to allow the serious trafficking charges to be considered fully without prejudice to Mr. McCormick's interests in his murder. Yes, I've read your questionable filing, the judge said, flicking a hand. Edgeworth recoiled. I assume it was yours and not your performing Smurfs, Mr. Edgeworth. Hey, Phoenix protested. This is my only suit. Your motion for the 502D order is denied. As for your motion to bar discovery, since that pends on the same issue. Phoenix frowned. No, hold on, he said, and dove for the rules. Subject matter waivers are not a thing anymore, Your Honor. Not since the 20th century, added Edgeworth, evidently still smarting. I'm sure you'll still remember those days. What my colleague is trying to say, Phoenix said, as Maya tried to elicit a high five out of Edgeworth under the table, is that my communication with my client on matters related to his trial remain utterly private. A knowing and voluntary waiver on one part of it has no bearing on that, as you no doubt know. He tried a winning smile. In your experience. The judge lifted an eyebrow but said, and what if I ruled that in fairness they needed to be considered together? Oh, I can knock that one out, Maya said brightly. She pulled Phoenix's phone out of his pocket and made a da-da-da noise as introduction. Exhibit 1, Nick to McCormick. What the fuck? They're bringing federal charges. McCormick to Nick. LOL, that's fine. Food way better at federal courthouse. Nick to McCormick. Maya Fay. Wait, is that true? I would kill a man not to eat the same shitty sandwich every trial. Maya Fay to Nick and McCormick. Your Honor, this one is an emoji chain. Can I act it out? The prosecution broke in. Your Honor, the government is adequately convinced that no purpose could be served by prolonging this. I'm inclined to agree, the judge said. With the exception of those portions just now read out, defendant's text to his inane attorney and their colleagues will be removed from the discovery request. Not, he added, because your sandwich conversations are privileged, but on the 403 ground that life is too short. Maya flicked his phone shut. You're missing out, she said. Bet you wish you'd subpoenaed his Snapchats.
Fed R. Evid 403, giving judge power to exclude relevant evidence for prejudice, confusion, waste of time, or other reasons. Well, Your Honor, Phoenix said, you have to admit that nothing in this rule allows you to exclude relevant evidence because its probative value is substantially outweighed by the amount that it's given by a Furby. Substantially more unfairly prejudicial than probative, the judge said. Juries are simple people, Mr. Wright. They are apt to actually believe Furbies can talk. Objection sustained. Phoenix silently moved the judge higher on his list of potential alternate murder suspects.
Fed R. Evid 805, resolving the double hearsay problem. Objection, Your Honor. This is clearly an attempt to smuggle inappropriate character testimony in some kind of horrifying hearsay package, said the federal prosecutor. Phoenix glanced over at Edgeworth and saw that he was taking notes. He craned his neck to get a look at them. Tone of injured innocence usable against W. at. Edgeworth, seeing him looking, slapped one hand over the paper and gestured with the other. Your Honor, Phoenix said, clearing his throat. These are business records. The airport security guards tracked every statement made to them about suspicious persons. But the people who reported had no reason to be honest, the federal prosecutor interrupted, demonstrating a familiar lack of manners. Your Honor. My honor, thank you, Phoenix said heatedly. Miss Wingmore was staring straight at the victim in the reflection from the plane when she made her statement. There's no sense impression more present than that. 805 cures hearsay within hearsay. Yes, thank you, said the judge. There was a brief pause while he reviewed the motion. Phoenix looked down at Edgeworth's notes again, and observed with interest that they now had a spreading blot in the middle of them, where Edgeworth had begun to fixedly grip his pen. Miles, he whispered, this is easily your weirdest fetish. Edgeworth jumped, and the blot spread. Mr. Wright, the judge said, I think we can admit Miss Wingmore's statement for truth, but what about this fired guard, the one who wouldn't stop about her suspicious person being a gentleman? Miss Oldbag, was it? Under what exception does her statement fall? Said Phoenix. Ancient documents?
Fed R. Evid, 105. Making limiting instructions the remedy for over-inclusion. The prosecution seems to have no objection to your proposed limiting instruction, Mr. Wright, the judge said. In light of that, and in light of the Californian time constraints, I will read them this, verbatim, and may God have mercy on your soul. Does that work? Maya said, and Edgeworth lifted his head from his hands, briefly, to express a question with his eyebrows. Telling the jury to just forget it, that's some magic trick. In general, or with the instruction that Wright just turned in? Maya folded her arms. Hey! Nick gave a great instruction. It hit all the high points. Edgeworth leaned over her and plucked Phoenix's copy from his hands. Okay, his invention might be running dry. Edgeworth read, I kept being told that the federal court is about justice, truth, and an obsessive attention to detail. I know that none of you fine people would ever let me down by considering the small, insignificant point that Mr. McCormick was convicted of passport forgery that one time as evidence that he might be guilty of running an international smuggling ring this time. You certainly aren't going to think about it as evidence of him committing murder. I mean, that would just be ridiculous. Ha ha ha, ha ha ha. He looked up briefly. Right. Were you planning for the judge to laugh when he read this out? I figured stage directions might be confusing, Phoenix said. Of course. However, for some reason, it's perfectly all right for you to hear about it, so long as we all pretend that you will only think about his passport forgery, as it bears on how convincing you find his testimony. So, do that. God bless America. You should have seen Maya's, Phoenix said, glumly watching Edgeworth turn the proposed instruction into a swan. That one just said, my client is a total jerk, but you lied about everything in voir dire, and I don't see you killing anyone. The jury is a primitive system, Edgeworth admitted. He shot Phoenix a look over a mountain fold. Do you get the feeling that the legal reforms we were discussing might be, in some measure... Oh, you guys are trying to give California jury trials? Maya said, in grave disappointment. I thought you were going to bring back trial by combat.
Fed R. Evid 605. Forbidding judges from testifying if they are presiding. That's ridiculous, the judge said. Now it was more like a bald, purple cliffed face in the middle of an earthquake. Mr. Wright, I will hold you in contempt of court. Will you? Said Phoenix. He jabbed his pointing finger at the judge. Is that what you threatened Mr. McCormick with? Is that how you got him to take the fall for you? Is that why he refuses to testify? Is that why his Furby keeps saying res judicata? That Furby statement could not have been admitted for truth. Exactly, Phoenix said, folding his arms triumphantly. Because I have no intention of you making this case something already adjudicated. No one in this court is going to let a man guilty of only a little drug smuggling get tried and executed for your murder. Ha, the judge said. It had begun to leak fear. Even if any of your childish accusations were true, how would you prove it? You can't make me take the stand. Why, because you're afraid? No, because I'm the sitting judge, you puling imbecile. He has a point, said a deep, melodious voice from his elbow, and Phoenix turned. Maya had straightened, gained shoulder width, and her necklace hung lower than usual, and also, somehow, she had grown a pair of spectacles over which he looked at the judge with fine disdain. "Gregory Edgeworth," the judge cried, and white-knuckled grabbed the podium. Phoenix turned instinctively to Miles, but his father put a hand on Phoenix's shoulder and turned him gently but firmly back to face the judge. "Believe in yourself," he said, "and also in the federal rules of criminal procedure." "I didn't have time to read those," Phoenix admitted, thought of Oke. "We pretty much just blew through the rules of evidence, and then I took the book out," and Miles said, "Did he faint?" "Oh," Mr. Edgeworth said. "Well, where a constitutional issue arises..." "Yes," Phoenix breathed in revelation. "A Sixth Amendment right to an effective defense trumps a federal rule of evidence. Therefore meaning he can't immunize himself on any grounds except the Fifth Amendment," said Mr. Edgeworth encouragingly. "And if he pleads the Fifth..." "He ought to disqualify himself from the trial," Phoenix said, and turned on the judge in ecstatic glory to find the judge going into some kind of seizure. Normally, he really enjoyed waiting out this part, but he was kind of busy, and ducked into the gallery to find Miles on the ground. "Hey, get up. Your dad is here." "I cannot stay," said Mr. Edgeworth in infinite benevolence. "That is ridiculous," Phoenix said. But as Miles sat up, blinking, Maya was already stepping back, catching herself on the railing, a young woman again. "Oh, come on." "What happened?" Miles murmured. He groped for his glasses, then remembered no one was supposed to know he had them and dropped his hand. "Did I?" "You were overcome by the shock of my victory," Phoenix said, consigning this story to a later hour. "Get up. I needed to tell me how to file a motion for disqualification of a judge. And, defendant, I guess." "You won?" Maya demanded. In a failing voice, Miles said, "In a pre-trial conference?" "Of course I did," Phoenix said. He brushed off his shoulders. "The thing is," he confided, "it's all a matter of following the rules."
The end.